We'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We'd like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. The particular subject matter that's on my heart this morning is not pleasant to even talk about, and yet it's something that's in the Word of God, and there are great lessons for us in this passage of Scripture. I would remind you that whatsoever things the New Testament says, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I pray that God will help us to profit and learn from this passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 23. We'd like to read verses 12, 13, and 14. The Word of God says, "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp." Now remember how the children of Israel were moving around quite a bit. They would have a camp, and we're not talking about a small camp. We're talking about a camp that would house around 6 million people, a tremendous number of people. Well, the numbers vary. I'm not going to say how many, but there were a lot of people that were there with them. So they had the camp, and he says, "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp," that's outside the camp, "whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon." That paddle was like a shovel. "Thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, that thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee." In other words, as they went to the bathroom, they were to go outside the camp, and they were to take that paddle or shovel, and they were to dig a hole, and then they were to cover that back up after they went to the bathroom. And that was always to be done outside the camp. Remember that. It's very important as we go along and we understand not just literally what God is saying, but there's a spiritual lesson, I believe, in every literal thing that God gives us in His Word. So He told them that they were to go outside the camp, they were to take that paddle, and they were to dig therewith, and then they were to cover up after they had gone to the bathroom. Verse 14 says, here's the reason they were to do that, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy." In other words, you don't do anything within the camp that will in any way desecrate the camp. The camp was to be holy. Now that dung that would come out of them, that dung represents something, and we'll be looking at that as we go along. But the main thing right here is that the Lord would be within the camp. And he says that the camp was to be clean, the camp was to be holy. Verse 14 says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee." In other words, God will deliver the children of Israel as they went out against various enemies. God would deliver them, and he would destroy their enemies before them. But what was necessary? Did they have to keep their camp clean in order for God to bless them as they went forward? And then the last part of verse 14 says, "Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he," and who is the "he" talking about here? God, "that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." In other words, if you don't do what I've instructed you to do, if you don't take that outside the camp, if the dung is not carried outside the camp and buried outside the camp, if there is something unclean within the camp, what is the declaration of what would happen to the children of Israel? What would God do if they left that within the camp? God would turn away. The last part of that verse says, "Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee." You know, sometimes God, and this is true whether you take an individual or a family or a church or a nation, it's true that if there are unclean things in us, then God will not have fellowship with us. If there are things in our lives that we have hidden in the camp, can you sometimes hide something and yet it not be hidden? Can you sometimes think you have things hid in your life and maybe nobody else sees what's in your life, but did you know that God can smell something that's unclean? God can smell it even when no one else realizes that that uncleanness is there. God's senses towards uncleanness are much more keen than our senses. And sometimes, long before other people know that there's something very unclean in a person that they've tried to hide and cover up, sometimes God has been smelling that foul, unclean thing in that person for a long time before it ever comes to light. Are there examples in the Word of God turning away from His people? And that's the main thing I want us to begin with this morning, is that God, if we don't keep ourselves holy, and we don't keep our camp holy, and if we don't keep our nation holy, I want us to understand that God will turn away from us. There are things that we have to do, and that is that when sin is in the camp, it has to be put outside the camp, and it has to be buried out there. You can't leave it out there and run out there to it as you desire to run back and forth, run in the camp and out the camp and run back and forth. It has to be carried outside the camp. And what were they to do outside the camp with that dung? What were they to do with it? They were to bury it. They were to cover it up. Now, if you've ever covered anything like that up, when I was a boy, the church that I went to, Flint River Primitive Baptist Church in Thomaston, they had... That's the way they did things. You went out in the woods to go to the bathroom. And no one ever went out there to uncover anything that was out there. It was stuff that was out there. It wasn't a place you would ever go. And yet sometimes people are so filled with sin in their lives, they don't realize how detestable that sin is. But in the eyes of God, sin is very much like dung. It's repulsive to God. And if the people of God are close to God, then sin is the same way to them. Sin stinks to them. They don't want to be around it. It smells horrible to them. It's repulsive to them. And until we get close to God, we don't realize how sinful sin really is. Now I want you to look at 2 Chronicles. Go forward in your Bibles about 100 pages. And you'll find in 2 Chronicles that God talks about, how many of you have ever heard God say in His Word, how many of you know that God's Word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Did you know the Word of God says that? God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? It's great to know that God has said, you're my child, I have redeemed you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in an eternal sense, that is true. But it is also important that God's children understand. Do you remember that what God said He would do if they didn't keep the camp clean back there in Deuteronomy chapter 23? What did God say He would do if they did not keep the camp clean? He would turn away from them. And so even though we do have the promise from God, that is an eternal promise, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that in an eternal sense we are God's children and we're kept by the power of God and God will always be with us in an eternal sense, we also need to understand the truth that God will turn away from us while we're here in this world. God will leave us when we leave Him. Look now in your Bibles at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Listen to verses 1 and 2. And let me ask you this question while you're turning to 2 Chronicles 15. What is it that would cause God to leave you? Sin. That's exactly right. sin will cause God to leave you. What did God tell the children of Israel back there in Deuteronomy 23? He says, keep the camp holy, lest God turn away from thee. Whenever there's sin, what has to be done to that sin? When there's sin in your life, and sin will always come up in your life. And when it comes up, what do you need to do with it? Get it out. Get it out, take it outside the camp, get it completely out of your life. Take it away and bury it. Get rid of it. Is pornography a problem today? There are people that on the computers are looking at pornography. There are people that are looking at pornography on television. There are people that are looking at pornography in magazines and in books and are reading pornography. And pornography is nothing but dung, D-U-N-G. And unless you purge your life of that stinking mess, I want you to know it will destroy your life. Because God will turn away from you if you keep that in your life. And that's true not only of that one sin, but any other kind of sin that you want to consider. If you keep it in the camp, if you keep it in your life, if you hold on to it, if you hold on to that sin, it's like holding on to dung, and it stinks to God. And God says, I'll turn away from you if you keep that in the camp. Can sin be in the church? Okay, it's not supposed to be. But what will happen sometimes is that sin does sometimes enter into a member of the body, and the church sometimes will overlook that sin. I was studying this past week with a pastor, and he was talking about one member after another that were members of that church, and one is a drunkard, and another was an adulterer. And he was talking about different members, and I said, how can you, knowing what God's Word teaches, how can you allow that sin to remain in the body? How can you allow members of the church to live in such ungodly ways? And his response was, we've just never done what the Word of God says to do. Do you know what will happen when a church doesn't do what God's Word says to do? Do you know what will happen when you keep that dung in the camp? God will turn away from that church. Some people think that God will not ever turn away from a church. I'm telling you, upon the authority of God's holy word, God will turn away from a church. As long as this world exists, His church will remain. But we cease to be His church when we have dung in the body. The Scripture says in Revelation chapter 3, the Word of God talks about the church of God at Laodicea. And do you remember what the problem was in the church at Laodicea? What was the main problem that was identified in the church at Laodicea? What was their number one dung? What was the main dung that was in the camp? Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. And do you remember what God said He would do? Did God say that He would just be gracious and overlook that lukewarmness? Or did rather say He would do what? Yes, in Revelation chapter 3, if you were to go home and read that in verses 15 and 16, the Word of God says that because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Will God do a church like that? And that's a church now. That was a body of born-again baptized believers who had turned their backs on God and they had allowed dung to be in the camp. And that dung in that situation was lukewarmness. God despises lukewarmness. He says, I would that ye were hot or that ye were cold. Have you ever seen lukewarmness in a church? Have you ever seen a church that wasn't hot and they weren't cold? They were just lukewarm. How many of you like to drink coffee? And most people that drink coffee, if I get up, if I've been out and I come back in and Teresa sticks me a cup of coffee, and I start to drink that cup of coffee and that coffee is lukewarm or cold, did you know I won't drink it? And it's not that I'm that picky, it's just that to me, lukewarm coffee is detestable and I spit it out and put it back in the microwave and heat it back up. Let me tell you something, brethren. God is more displeased with lukewarmness in the church than you have ever been displeased over lukewarm food. Have you ever had food brought to your table in a restaurant and it was lukewarm? It was just wasn't hot, wasn't cold, just lukewarm. God despises lukewarmness. What kind of sin is it that God despises? Is it adultery? Does God despise that? Does He despise all other kinds of sin? Yes, He does. And what will God do if we don't try to deal with sin in our lives? God will turn away. If you try to hide the sin, you try to cover it up in the camp instead of taking it outside the camp and getting rid of it and covering it up out there, it will always lead to destruction and to God turning away from your from fellowshipping with you and helping you. Look now at 2 Chronicles. Are you in 2 Chronicles chapter 15? 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. Because there are some people that don't believe God will turn away from His people, I want you to know that God will turn away from His chosen people. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." Listen carefully. "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him." What does that mean? As long as you serve Him, He'll bless you. Isn't that what He was saying back there in Deuteronomy chapter 23? As long as you keep the camp clean, God says, "I'll be with you, and I'll bless you, and I'll bless you to destroy your enemies." As long as you keep the camp clean. As long as you don't bury dung and try to hide dung in the camp. Now listen, "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him, and if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you." Will God forsake His people? Will He leave them and will He destroy them because of dung being in the camp? Sometimes dung is real pretty. Well, I'm glad you at least are listening, because I saw as many frowns as I've ever seen in a congregation. Now, what do you think I mean? Some of you that know and weren't frowning, you understood what I was talking about when I said sometimes dung is real pretty. What do you think I mean by that? What was sometimes things that are sinful and things that are detestable to God, and they are detestable to God's people, they look good to the natural man. Go with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. I want you to see some dung that Joshua thought was real pretty. But not Joshua, but Achan. Achan thought it was real pretty. It was dung. And you know what he did with that dung that he stole? Can you imagine stealing dung? Doesn't make sense, does it, to steal dung? Well, until you recognize how evil and detestable and how stinking sin is, you'll be stealing dung yourself. Did you know there's some dung in each of your lives? And there's some dung in the church? And there's some dung, I tell you, our nation is about as full of dung as this nation has ever been. It's everywhere. And we're grabbing hold to it and holding on to it like it's something precious. And it's dung. And we need to see it for what it is. And unless God opens your eyes, you'll never see it for what it is. But it'll always look beautiful and it'll look lovely and it'll look precious to you until your spiritual eyes are open. Because to the natural man, dung, the way I'm looking at what we're talking about, the sin looks pretty to natural man. When David was up on that housetop and looked out and saw Bathsheba down there bathing. She was down there bathing. And she was beautiful to look upon. You know what she was? Not that she was so wicked, but him looking upon her, you know what that was? Him looking on what? Dung. His lust of his flesh was the dung part. And then he called her and he lay with her. And though that was pleasant to him physically, If he had had spiritual understanding, what would he have known he was doing? He was laying with dung. And I'm not saying that Bathsheba was that. I'm saying that when he laid hold on her, she was a wonderful woman in many ways, no doubt. I believe with all my heart Bathsheba was an outstanding woman. And the reason I believe that is because Uriah was such an outstanding man. I think that Bathsheba was an outstanding woman. But that dung that was in David's life, did he hold it dear and precious? Did he even kill in order to hold on to that dung? And you know whatever happened to David because he held on to that dung that he thought was so wonderful? The sword never departed from his house, and you can look through and study, and his children, you look through and study. And I don't think there's a more horrible way for God to chastise his people than through his children. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? I think the most horrible thing that can ever happen as far as chastisement is for God to, in some way, let sin destroy and affect my children's lives. Would that hurt you? That would hurt me. Listen, I would rather God strike me dead. I'd rather have a stroke. I'd rather anything else happen to me in my life than for my children to be destroyed by sin. But if I don't get rid of the dung in my life, and if you don't get rid of the dung in your life, I want you to know the same thing that happened to David will happen to you, and you will experience nothing but reaping of dung because you've been sowing dung. Did David reap a lot of dung in his life? Yes, he did. Why? Because he didn't purge out that dung from his own life. As soon as he saw her, he should have right then dug it up, took it outside the camp, buried it, gotten rid of it. Can you nip it in the bud? Can you nip it in the bud as soon as you feel a little dung coming on? Can you get rid of it right then? Yes, you can. You try to hold on to it, you're going to destroy your life. Look now in Joshua chapter 7. I want you to think about Achan just a moment. In Joshua chapter 7, the Word of God talks about, you remember, and I'm not going to read Joshua 6 and 7, but you remember how the children of Israel, they're on their way into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, and as they're on the way into the land of Canaan, do you remember how they came to Jericho, that great walled city of Jericho? And do you remember what God told them to do? March around that city, and they did that, and then the walls of the city fell, and they took the city, and they destroyed the city, and God told them not to take anything out of that city. Did you know sometimes our natural reasoning wants to argue with God? I've heard people argue with God, by the way. I've argued with God myself a few times. I've wanted to argue with what God's Word says. I've wanted to argue with all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, it's a fool that argues with God in His Word. What did Achan do? What did he take? How many of you remember what Achan took? Okay, he took a Babylonish garment. You know why he took that Babylonish garment? It wasn't just a trophy. Why do you think he took that Babylonish garment? It was pretty. It was pretty. What else did he take? He took some gold and he took some silver. Now, what was that? Was that something that was precious? Was everything he took precious to the natural man? Was it something that he wanted? And what did he do with that evil thing? It was dung. Do you understand there's nothing wrong with pretty clothes, nothing wrong with gold, and nothing wrong with silver? But the love of those things and the desire to have those things is the root of all evil. And so it is that Achan took that Babylonish garment and the gold and the silver, and what did he do with it? He buried it. Now that's what God told him to do, wasn't it? Was to bury it, right? Isn't that what God told him to do? What was the problem? Where did he bury it? He buried it in his tent. And did you know you can bury things in your tent and you can hide them from everybody else in the congregation? You can hide them from everybody else in the camp. But I'm telling you, God will bring it to light. And God will destroy any church. He'll bring His judgments on any church where members of the body are living ungodly and they've got dung hid in their tent. Did you know God will bring it to light? You know, here's a verse of Scripture that all of us need to remember. Be sure your what? Be sure your sin. Now translate that word sin into a four-letter word. Dung. Be sure your sin, be sure your dung will find you out. You know what it'll soon start doing? It'll start stinking. That's right. Will it have a profound effect? Did Achan taking that gold and silver and Babylonish garment and burying it in his tent, did it have an effect on all of Israel? They lost. They had defeated Jericho. Jericho may have been 10 times as big as that next little city. It was much larger, and they thought they would have no trouble at the next city they came to, which was the city of Ai, and the army got to the next city, and they lost the battle, and the people at Ai drove out the children of Israel. Do you know why they lost the battle at Ai? It's because the Lord had turned away from them. Do you remember back there in Deuteronomy chapter 23 what God said He would do? He said, I'll be with you, I'll bless you, and I'll destroy your enemies if you keep the camp holy. But what had happened to Israel is they had allowed Achan to take that Babylonish garment and gold and silver, and he had buried it in his tent. You might say, well, maybe they didn't know. Well, God brought it to light, didn't He? And when God brought it to light, do you know what they had to do? Now I want you to listen carefully. You won't like this, I don't like this, especially if I had been Achan's next door neighbor and loved Achan, I wouldn't have liked to do what God told him to do. I want you to come down to Joshua chapter 7. Listen, starting in verse 19. Joshua 7, starting in verse 19, the Word of God says, And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto Him, and tell me now what thou hast done. And notice the next word. What's the next word right there? Hide it not from me. Quit hiding it. Joshua could smell it? He might not have smelled it before he knew the effects of it before. Right now he smelled it. He said, don't hide it from me. It's there. I know it's there. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned. Now, the man's confessed his sin. What are we going to do now? Just forgive him and let it go? We have, among primitive Baptist preachers today, we have preachers that have committed adultery while ordained ministers of the gospel. We have preachers that have been counseling other couples and then have had an affair with those women they were counseling. We have primitive Baptist preachers that have had sexual relations with children and been arrested and their names put on the front page of the paper. Let me tell you something, brethren. We have lowered the standard. We have lowered the standard as low as it can get. We have hid the dung in the camp. We have said, don't you believe in mercy and don't you believe in grace? Listen, brethren, there is a standard that God calls for in His Word, and if we're not going to hold up that standard, God will turn away from the camp. What did Joshua have to do right here with Achan? Whenever he confessed, listen to verse 20, And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a good Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, what's the first thing he did in verse 21? What's the first three words? The first three words in verse 21. When I what? When I saw, and then you come to the middle of the verse, then I what? Coveted. Do you know what leads to trouble in our lives many times? We see and keep looking, and then you covet. When I saw it, then I coveted and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth. Do you see that? What was hid in the earth? Was that was hid in the earth dung, or was it gold and silver and something precious? Which one was it? Yes, to the natural man, it was something that was precious and beautiful and valuable. But to that is holy, it was detestable. It was dung. Come down, for the sake of time, come down to verse 24. Let's see what they had to do with Achan. And Joshua and all, this is Joshua chapter 7, verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. Guess where the valley of Achor is? It's outside the what? Outside the camp. What did they have to do with that dung that was in the camp? They had to take it outside the camp. And they took it to the valley of Achor, and verse 25 says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. What does that mean? What did they do after they had stoned him and all that he had? And then they burned him and all that they had. Then what they finally do? They buried it. What did God tell Israel back there in Deuteronomy chapter 3 they better do with the dung? Take to bury it where? Outside the camp. A little leaven. Listen carefully. You know, the amazing thing is, I can just say a few words and everybody knows the rest of the verse. Isn't that amazing? The sad thing is, and the thing we need to answer is, it doesn't matter how much of God's Word you can quote and I can quote. That makes no difference. It doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. If it's not having an effect in our lives, then actually knowing the Word of God is worse than those that don't know it at all. Achan and all that he had was buried outside the camp. You know what that then did? That purged what? That purged the sin, the dung that was in the camp in Israel. And then what happened to Israel? They went forward and they won battle after battle after battle. The Lord returned to them when they got rid of the sin that had been in their lives. Go with me in closing to Philippians chapter 3. You remember the Apostle Paul? Philippians chapter 3, listen to verses 7 and 8. Are there things, is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life? If you say no, please see me after church. Because on top of having the sin in your life, you stink and you're a liar. Because there is sin in our lives. And we better examine ourselves and purge ourselves and get that sin out of our lives. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Did he have to give up some things that were precious to him? Those things that were gained. That means they were very valuable to me. Those things that were very valuable, they were gained to me, they were precious to me. I count them but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Does he say I'm trading in some things? I'm getting rid of some things so I can have something better. I want to get rid of it so I can have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Did you know the most wonderful thing in the world is to know God and Jesus Christ? That's what happens when you lay hold on eternal life. You fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold on eternal life. What is eternal life? It's to know God and Jesus Christ. And you don't know God and Jesus Christ except when and while you are taking the dung and taking outside the camp and burying it out there and then coming back into the camp. Now, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Were those precious things he had had to give up? I count the loss of all things and do count them but what? I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What do you have to do in your life in order to finally be able to really have intimate fellowship with God? You have to be able to take those things that you thought were so important, that were really evil, and you have to take them outside the camp, and you have to bury them, and you have to count them but dung that you may win Christ. May God help us as His people to examine ourselves and say, God, help me find the dung in my life. Help me find the dung in my life. Some of the dung you may already know about. Some of the dung you may not even know is there. But you need to say, God, help me find the dung in my life. Because I know I don't know you as good as I need to know you, and I want to know you better. I want to have a closer walk with God. Oh, for a closer walk with God. You know what you've got to do before you can have a closer walk with God? He won't walk close to you as long as He smells that dung in you. You have to purge out, bury that dung outside the camp. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.